this is a really serious vulnerability. It's a gaping vulnerability in terms of negative politics.
Potential fallout for the new San Francisco district attorney. The payments now being called into question. Plus,
it's ridiculous that our parents are being treated this way, and you are responsible because you're the superintendent.
The Oakland School Board getting an earful, the demand for answers after an altercation at Parker Elementary School.
And here in the Weather Center, we're tracking gloomy skies this morning. It's going to start drying up and warming up a lot as we head into the weekend. We'll have more on that coming up in your full forecast.
And as you get ready to hit the roadways this morning, already busy for that ride into the Altamont Pass, and they just turned the metering lights on, so we'll have your travel times coming up for that drive into the city.
Okay, Gianna, we'll talk to you soon, but first let's look at this morning's top stories. We start in San Francisco, where an abortion rights protester is suing the city for civil rights violations. She claims a firefighter injected her with a sedative against her will.
I was dragged out. I was choked. I was hogtied.
3 seconds to get a shot. McKnight says she and another protester were dragged out of Chase Center after attempting to unfold banners on the arena floor during Game 5 of the NBA Finals. She says it got worse when first responders took her outside.
And while I was on the ground, handcuffed in front of the emergency vehicle, one of the firefighters came with a needle towards me, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And I flinched and I said no.
So I was handcuffed.
McKnight showed KPIX 5 what appears to be an ER discharge note confirming the injection of 5 milligrams of Versed. A member of the SF Police Commission says the decision to use sedatives is left to fire department paramedics. The city told us it has not seen the lawsuit yet, so it cannot comment. We have learned an Amtrak engineer was blasting the horn in the moments before a Union Pacific maintenance tractor turned into its path in Oakland. That's according to a preliminary NTSB report on last month's collision near the Coliseum. The train was traveling at 68 miles per hour when it slammed into the tractor, severely injuring the operator. Three others suffered minor injuries. The report shows all safety equipment at the crossing was working at the time. A live look now at San Francisco, which could soon be one of three California cities to give people a legal supervised space to ingest illegal drugs. State lawmakers also included Oakland and Los Angeles in the bill they sent to the governor. The sites would provide users with clean needles, a place to rest, and medical help in case they overdose. We spoke with one man who says he's living proof that this works.
We need these types of facilities because it's one step in the right direction instead of getting worse and worse and grimier and dirtier and nastier, you know? I think I'm worth saving because I feel like I have a lot left to give to this world.
The San Francisco Police Officers Association said the sites are nothing more than sanctioned drug dens that will negatively impact the residents and businesses around them. Let's look at your morning's top stories. But now let's get a check on our weather and travel. We're going to start with a look at our forecast, and it is a gloomy out this morning.
You know, it is in certain areas, though. I mean, right now in San Francisco.
Depends where you're looking.
Exactly, because if your boyfriend's waking up right now off in the East Inland areas,
nice,
that's not the same trend. Yes, it's beautiful over there this morning. Now, as we extend into the next couple days, we're going to start seeing a lot more sunshine in the forecast, so get ready for it and enjoy this while you can. It is a stunning morning for us. Like I said, just tilt the camera and you start seeing a little bit more of that sunshine just based on where we're at right now in the bay. It is windy for us this morning, and as we extend into the afternoon, we're going to see those winds kick on even stronger, pushing in from the west. We're still left with daytime highs in the upper 80s, lower 90s this afternoon. Today, off in our East Inland Hills. As for our friends off along the coast in San Francisco, this is beautiful. We're expecting upper 60s, lower 70s, a little bit above average. But heading into the next couple days, high pressure is really going to start pushing its way in from the desert. It's going to warm us up a lot. We're expecting upper 90s as early as Monday and Tuesday off in the East Inland Hills. We're expecting upper 60s, lower 70s, still along our coastline. But we'll break that down coming up in your full forecast in just a little bit. Don't worry, it's going to be okay. For now, Gianna, how are the roads looking?
Getting a little bit busy if you were headed towards the Bay Bridge Toll Plaza. Meteor lights were turned on just a couple couple minutes ago, and we're already starting to track some slow speeds across the upper deck as you head into San Francisco. So definitely plan for that this morning. Not too bad of a backup here, but once you're past those metering lights, it definitely slows down just a bit heading into the city. And you can see that here in our Caltrans camera. Westbound 80 as you come off the Skyway, certainly crowded for that morning commute. And as the next couple of weeks, more and more kids get back to school, we will definitely get out of these summer traffic patterns into a busier one. Speaking of busy, here is a live look at 205-580 heading into the Altamont Pass this morning. No wind advisory, but certainly slow westbound from there all the way to North Flint. Devin?
San Francisco's district attorney is under the microscope of her payments received while she was the face of the campaign to recall her former boss. Our Sarah Donchi spoke with a political expert about the potential fallout.
Brooke Jenkins is facing some new questions after it was revealed she took a paid consultant job for a nonprofit that was linked to the Chesa Boudin recall effort. Jenkins previously said she volunteered to work on the campaign against her former boss after she quit her job as a prosecutor. The San Francisco Standard first reported a financial disclosure form shows she was paid six figures to work for a nonprofit, Neighbors for a Better San Francisco. One of the group's board members, billionaire William Oberndorf, bankrolled the Boudin recall effort. A DA spokesperson told KPIX Jenkins was never paid by the recall campaign itself, and in a statement Jenkins wrote in part, I leveraged my career and prosecutorial experience to help provide a new source of income to help support my family and small children. My work for the nonprofit organizations focused on public safety and other legal work supporting communities ranging from formerly incarcerated women to helping advise the business community on public safety concerns and issues. University of San Francisco professor of politics James Taylor says the matter adds fuel to the fire for Jenkins' critics and political adversaries.
This is a really serious vulnerability. It's a gaping vulnerability in terms of negative politics. This would, because it undermines her credibility. And as a lawyer, the one thing you have is your credibility.
Former DA Chesa Boudin, who announced last week he will not be seeking re-election in November, tweeted about the story this morning, writing, quote, integrity is central to the job of district attorney. If jurors can't trust your word, they won't convict. The relationship with judges and defense counsel and victims are all built on integrity. Lying to get ahead destroys the trust we need to make SF safer. But Taylor says the controversy won't carry much political weight if Jenkins doesn't have a high-profile challenger come November.
It may not be an ethical or legal question, but politically, there's a wide opening for a serious challenge. But again, without Boudin in the contest, I don't see who can do that in the city quick enough to get the resources behind them.
We reached out to Jenkins' office multiple times to see if she would speak to us about this in an interview, but they declined. We also reached out to the office of Mayor London Breed, who appointed Jenkins to this office, but have not heard back. I'm Sarah Donchi, KPIX 5.
We move now to Oakland, where there's been another heated confrontation over the closure of Parker Elementary School. KPIX 5's Katie Nielsen was at the school board meeting as parents and educators demanded answers and accountability.
It's ridiculous that our parents are being treated this way, and you are responsible because you're the superintendent.
Former McClemens High School teacher Ben Tapscott got into a heated exchange with the OUSD board president.
And we're going to come after you in the courts as well as come after you for mistreating our parents and teachers.
It's wrap it up, Mr.
Yeah, I know
Tapscott.
You want me to wrap it up. I want you to wrap it up, too.
And he wasn't the only one.
Thank you.
No.
Yes.
I do want that answer.
Do you guys have that answer for me? Have you guys investigated who assaulted us?
Oakland parent Max Orozco had his microphone shut off as he demanded accountability after an incident at Parker Elementary School on Thursday.
This board knows who started and who gave instructions for us to be attacked. This is part of what I can show what I got left over from Parker. I don't want to take off my shirt and show the rest.
Where he and other activists and parents clashed with OUSD security guards as the protesters tried to occupy the now closed school. Orozco says he was one of the parents who was assaulted by OUSD security guards.
What happened to him is unacceptable, and again, there must be accountability.
While the school board members did not directly respond to the public comment, they did address the situation at Parker.
The cost of school closure should not be that you get beat up by the district. No one should ever get injured in a process like this.
Kitty Nielsen reporting. Parents say that since they didn't feel like the issue at Parker was resolved, they will be right back at the next school board meeting in 2 weeks demanding accountability.
All right, you've got to take a look at your screens and look at this incredible property. This sprawling $18 million East Bay estate seems to have everything a buyer would want. An 11,000 square foot home sitting on 10 acres of land. And just look at those views. Wow. But after 2 years, the buyers just are not biting. The Alamo home is now forced to go up for auction. It was designed by a famous Beverly Hills architect and has 7 bedrooms, 8 bathrooms. But that's just the beginning. It also holds a 500-bottle wine cellar. That's what I'm talking about. Guests also get to bask in the same splendor in a 1-bedroom tennis house with a full-size tennis court. You saw there's a pool. I was looking at the bathroom. Oh, my gosh. Gorgeous. It's a dream. The closets are a dream. It's amazing. Auction ends on August 27th if you want to go up for it. And just so you guys know, according to Realtor.com, the average price for a home in that area is about $3
million. $3 million? Oh,
for a listing price? Yeah. This is going for well above that.
A lot more. Beautiful area, though.
Speaking of that, though, did we win that?